Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 4. I just want to read, starting in verse 34. We are heading into a new season. It's a new year starting. It's a school year, church year, whatever. I know God's not bound by months and particular times, but there is seasons in our lives that things get going again. And this is one of those seasons. And I was reading a lot of Facebook pages, a lot of friends of ours here in the city, the Pearl and the Cotton Church and C3 Church, different ones. Even Dave McTaggart from Langley texted me as I was sitting here this morning, just encouraging us as we're starting a new season. It's harvest time. It's back to the mission field. Everybody's got a bit of a different version of it, but we're starting again. It's the kickoff, whatever term works for you. And I just want to read these verses. We're going to look at parables of Jesus and his teachings coming in the next season. But before we get there, these words of Jesus in John chapter 4, he says this: "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me, to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." I'm cutting into the middle of a story, the woman at the well. You may remember it. "Many of the people believed because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy and infallible word. Amen. So my subject this morning, my topic is the harvest. Look at the harvest. Kind of piggybacking on last week with Jeremy's preach on pray the Lord of the harvest. You remember that service? If you were here last week, we prayed for them, sent them off. They left for Ethiopia on Wednesday. Thank you for giving. We blessed them with $1,500 that was raised. As we said, we want to be able to take a missions offering, a kingdom offering every month. Doesn't always going to happen on the same week. If you want to lay aside $20, $40, $100, whatever God lays on your heart during the month, for missions, for the support of Jeremy and Teresa, just do it. You can put it on the envelope. You can tag it. It'll be kept in that account. But we said we want to do something specific and intentional and get involved with them. So we prayed for them, sent them off on Wednesday with their 10 giant suitcases. And we're thankful that we can invest into their lives and through them into the country of Africa again, all up into the north. And he's a rep for all of Africa. He ministers in all kinds of places. And what we love about him, not only is he related to Doug and Jess, married to his Doug's sister, but they are kingdom people that we've known for many years, and we just want to encourage them and bless them. So off of his message, he was talking about the harvest and praying, and if you were here, talking about the Lord's compassion, and it's his harvest, and the fact that we have a harvest everywhere we are, and to become part of it. So as we start this new season at the church, this text on Jesus, from Jesus saying, look at the harvest. Look at it. That's my message this morning. Do you see the harvest? Do you know what the harvest is? What is the harvest? And I believe God's going to speak to us and challenge us over these next weeks as we hear the words of Jesus to get involved in people's lives, to get involved in kingdom business. So I was reading on this text, and I came across a quote, and I want to read it. I'm going to ask you to guess when it was written. But he was talking about a lot of things, a lot of issues around the church, how we kind of procrastinate, how we kind of put things off, how we will say, well, somebody else will do it, or maybe one day our children will serve the Lord. Or so he's writing along those lines, speaking on this theme of, don't say 4 months and then the harvest. Jesus says, you know, you have this saying, you say this, but look at the fields. Look, don't say 4 months. I could read it that way. Don't say from planting to harvest is 4 months. He says, look, the fields are white. Look at the harvest. Look around. Open up your eyes. That's what Jesus is telling us. And so in the middle of his writing, this is his quote, and I hope I can read it in a way that you'll listen to me. And just take a minute. I know we've had a lot of announcements and a lot of kind of serious times here this morning, but just stay with me for a minute. It says, you know that this is a general feeling at present in the Christian church, this idea of, well, let's hope something will happen. Let's, you know, trust. He says, not to expect any great things now, but to be waiting and watching for something or other which may one of these days in the order of providence turn up. Meanwhile, it is true that death does not cease to slay. Meanwhile, it is a fact that our cemeteries and graveyards are being crowded and that multitudes are perishing for lack of knowledge. Meanwhile, it is most true that error stalks like a pestilence through the land. It is true that as yet Christ does not see the travail of his soul, and that few are the travelers who will go through the strait gate. But these good people seem indifferent to the perishing millions and only say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. I have noticed that this kind of feeling has crept into the smaller agencies, to the individual workers, too. In the Sunday school, how many a teacher does not expect to see the children of his class converted, but fondly hopes that perhaps when they are grown up, the benefit of the instruction which he imparts to them may be apparent. There are yet 4 months, they say, and then comes the harvest. Truly, my brethren, one's ears have been dinned and dunned. We don't say that too much. Have your ears been dinned and dunned? I think Brother Bill might know that saying. And then comes the harvest. We're tired of hearing 4 months and then the harvest. Patience is a virtue, but sometimes decision is a greater one. To wait long is well, but not when the harvest is ripe and ready, for then it will lie upon the ground and rot. To wait may be well, but not when men are dying. No, when hell is filling. Not when immortal souls are in jeopardy. Not when the plague is raging and we have today to stand between the living and the dead and wave the censer of the gospel of Jesus Christ that the plague may be stopped. 4 months indeed, 4 months. Have there not been months enough already? We have waited long. We have waited till our patience may well have exhausted itself. It was to be 4 months in the days of our grandfathers. It was to be 4 months in the days of our fathers. And now it is still to be 4 months. Oh, that we would learn the Savior's words and say no longer that there are 4 months and then comes a harvest. Let us do as he says. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white to harvest. Expect the present blessing. Believe that that you will have it. Go to work to get it, and do not be satisfied unless you have it. Let me skip a little bit. Though possibly a sermon may bring a soul to God 20 years after it's preached, yet do not think of that, but think of those who are present while it is preached, and not satisfied unless now, on the spot, you reap some of that wheat which is already white to harvest. Amen. Some serious words. When do you think those were written? It sounded like it was quite applicable for today. The church, we all kind of have this feeling of well, somebody's going to speak to them. Someone's going to do something in the city. Someone's going to help our Sunday school class. Someone's going to eventually pray my children through. Someday I'm going to take the time to have some devotion with whatever the repeated statements might be in your life. This quote seems quite up to date. But it was Spurgeon in 1866. One of his messages, he was preaching in Westminster Chapel, and his English is far more delicious than my English. But he's taking us right back to the words of Jesus. You have a saying, 4 months in the harvest. Look at the harvest. And so I want to speak on three things about the harvest. First of all, look at it. Have you seen the harvest? Have you looked at the harvest yourself in the last while? Has God woken you up in the night and challenged you with the harvest that's all around us? The harvest is people. Amen? The harvest is the children in your house. The harvest is the folk who come Sunday by Sunday. The harvest is the school that you attend. The harvest is the workplace. The harvest fields are white. They are ready. Jesus says, don't say 4 months. Spurgeon is saying, don't, you know, lose hope, or don't allow that slow creep to come in that perhaps one day, perhaps in 4 months, perhaps sometime. We should be working now. We should be expecting now. We should be praying now for a harvest right now in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our churches, a harvest of God's blessing right now. The harvest is people. That's why I keep saying, you want to change the world, just show up. We had an amazing picnic. It just takes people to show up. People are running and playing and eating and talking, and kids, they're making memories for the rest of their life together. Is that all there is? No, but it's part of it. It's part of us seeing one another, seeing this harvest field, seeing this time that God has put us in, not waiting for someday, not waiting for an opportunity down the road. The harvest is all around us, and it's white. It's ready. If you talk about harvest just practically, when the harvest time comes, you've got to take care of it. It means laying down some stuff. It means changing your schedule. It means rearranging. We grew up on a farm. We grew up, you know, my dad always said it's Alberta is one of the craziest places to farm, because it's like you just work like the middle of May. You just go for it, and you got to get the seeds in the ground, and you just work. And then it seems like about 3 weeks later, you're just flying again to try to bring in this harvest before this winter and the wind starts blowing. The seasons are so short. And that's literally how it is. And when the harvest time comes, my mom was a school teacher. She would get up before school, get the trucks in the field. This is my mother. My father would be getting the combines, everything ready. She would park them in specific places. When the grain warmed up enough to start harvesting, Dad would be in it. My mother would rush back from school during a break, take the truck to the elevator. Later on, my brother got involved in it. We all got involved in it. There was just no other thing on your mind but getting in this harvest. And if we didn't do it when the opportunity was there, we missed it. So what is the harvest talking about? I could take you through many, many scriptures in the Bible, but I won't. The harvest is people. The harvest is eternal souls. You're talking about heaven, and you're talking about hell. You're talking about salvation, and you're talking about being lost when you talk about a harvest that's lost. When you talk about reaping a harvest, you're talking about the gospel penetrating hearts, bearing fruit, salvation coming into people's lives. That's what we're talking about. That's the harvest. It's important. It's the most precious thing in God's mind is the harvest, in the salvation of men and women. And we are invited to become part of that. And what Jesus challenges us, and he's saying it to us again and again, if you're standing here today, stop saying 4 months. Stop saying one day. One day I will lead my children to the Lord. One day I will pray with someone. One day I will speak the truth. One day I will... Let's hear Jesus this morning and open up our eyes and look around. The harvest is white. The harvest is ready. It's harvest time. The other side of that is, you know, I've said it already, it means it's all in. At harvest time, it's all in. But it also means harvest can be missed. Harvest can be ruined. Crops can be lost. People can miss opportunities. It's serious. There's this creeping false side of the sovereignty of God that kind of creeps in, and we like, well, God knows, one day something will happen. There's a false teaching around that. I believe God's in control. God knows everything, and that's why he said to us, go and preach the gospel. That's why he told us to go and seek the elect. How do you find the elect? You preach the gospel to everyone, and God saves those that are his. He's put upon us the ministry of preaching, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of bringing people together. and to hear the gospel. We have an important part in it. We are God's instruments. And if you go back to my text, and I'm almost done, so stay with me. The woman at the well spoke to her whole community. The whole town came out because of her testimony. And the Bible says many were saved because of one woman meeting Jesus. Then if you keep reading, and I read it, if you remember what I read, they come out and they meet Jesus themselves. They beg him to spend 2 days. Jesus stays with them for 2 days. Wouldn't you love to just been there for 2 days? I would have loved to have a video camera or something when Jesus spent the 2 days. And the Bible says when he was done after 2 days, many more believed. And what they said is, you know, we heard you, sister. We believe because of you, but now we believe because we've heard him ourselves. Both of those spoke to me this week. We, like that woman, have a testimony. We must speak up. We must get involved in this harvest. We must throw ourselves into this thing. We must be committed to it. We must believe in it. If we don't, then who does? And our testimony bears fruit. When you talk to your neighbors, when you talk to people, it bears fruit. Believe God for immediate, instant fruit. The harvest is now. It's not in 4 months. It's not 7 years from now. It's now. When we speak, when we talk, when we minister, when we disciple, believe for harvest right now. Her words mattered. And the other part of it was Jesus spent 2 days with them. I love that picture. Jesus spent 2 days out of his short time of ministry in life to sit with these Samaritans, which the Jews hated, which culturally was totally, I mean, you go back into that story and just read how he ended up there and had to go through there and all these things, how God put together this perfect plan. Jesus spends 2 days. What's God asking you to do? What's the commitment that he's asking from you to be part of this harvest, to be part of what God is doing in Edmonton right now? So Jeremy said it last week, you know, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers, us, into his harvest field. This week, Jesus is saying to us, open your eyes. Open your eyes. I pray that this week. I pray that all my life. I've prayed, God, let me see people. You know, I've shared the story of why we handed out blankets in the, you know, winter project in Pretoria years ago. And we're, you know, blankets don't save anybody. Doing good works isn't saving anyone. Why do we do it? And I used to say it's because we need to do it. We, the ones with the blankets, need to go and see somebody who doesn't have a blanket laying on the ground and talk. We need it. Yes, they can use a blanket. And it forced us to go. And I remember sitting there with this one guy talking about him. Where do you go after death? And he says, well, they throw us over that fence just over there. That's where they put the bodies. And it's like, do we see people? The point I was trying to make with the blankets is, and I said it many, many times, and I'm saying it to you this morning, do you see people? Do you see people? Do you just see, but you don't see? Do you open up your heart? Do you open up your eyes? Do you look into the souls of men and women? You want me to get all spooky here this morning and prophetic? Look into the eyes of people. You will see. God will show you what's going on in the souls of men and women. Look in the eyes. They are windows to the soul. If you'll take a moment and greet someone, not spooky and freak them out, but talk to people. See the human being. See the life. See the child in Sunday school. See the young mother that's stressed out. See the grandfather who feels like his life is past. See someone who's suffering. See one another. That's what every preacher's cry, every pastor's cry for his church is that people would see one another. Don't just walk through the doors and eat a piece of cake or something and not see somebody. And if you're not being seen, get in someone's space. Talk to people. Open up your life. Let people see you. That's the only way we're going to get involved in this harvest. That's my last point. How do we get into this harvest? Maybe it's not my last point, but it's good enough. see people. Open your eyes, man. Open your eyes. It's not hard. You don't have to have a theological degree. You don't have to go to Bible school. Open your eyes. Open your hearts. Open your wallets. Open your life to people. They're all around us. The harvest is plentiful. Look, Jesus said it 2,000 years ago, and we've been saying it ever since. Look at the harvest. Get involved. So what does that mean for us here? Well, glad you asked that. We're starting a new year. Get involved. It costs to be part of a life group. It costs to be part of a men's group. It costs to be part of a ladies group. It's going to cost you something. It costs to invite people. It costs to talk to neighbors. It costs to pray. It costs to care. It costs. Last week we gave an offering that's touching Ethiopia. We have a hand into Ethiopia through Jeremy and Teresa. I don't know what that's going to open up for us. I pray that half this church would end up going there and visiting, go up into North Africa. I don't know. Give your life for Jesus. Do something. But open up your eyes. You know, we said it, and I said it lots. We've never asked you to shed your blood, as far as I know. I know Russell and I have left a little blood changing toilets and a few things in this building, but that's not the kind of blood I'm talking about. But we all can do something. Bring your gift. Bring your talents. Bring your life to the mission field, to the harvest that God is busy with. And it's people. It's people. Open up your eyes and see the people in the pews beside you. See the ones that are suffering. See the ones that are rejoicing. See the ones that are needing prayer. See one another. That's how we get involved in this harvest. Don't say 4 more months. So let me read my conclusion. It's so powerful. Let me take a drink of water. Commit. Make a decision, man, that I'm going to get involved in this harvest. This harvest is people. It's salvation. It's eternal. Amen? Don't make me go over that again. I'm going to commit to be part of this that matters. People will die without Christ if I do not live the gospel out as God's called me to do it. It matters. What I say matters. What I testify, how I live matters. Serve. Be part of a life group. Bring whatever you have to the body of Christ. Look at the field. Do not say, one day I'll do something. Someday I'll get involved. Someplace. Listen, this is not the only church in the city. Thank God there's many, many, many good churches in the city. We pray for them all the time. We've talked about many of them. We're partnering with some. We have commitments. But this is one of the churches. And if this is where God's called you, get involved. Commit your way. And it's not a life sentence. Maybe God will move you on. But while you are here, be part of it. Say, here I am. Use me. Use my life, Lord. Let my life count in this harvest field right here. So as we start this new season, we need people to love. We need people to serve. We need people to get involved. It's time to make your life count in this church, in this setting. Don't say 4 months and then the harvest. I'll end with this. Promise. When's the right time to plant a tree? You heard that saying? We don't really have the saying 4 months and then comes the harvest. I don't really have the saying either, when's the right time to plant a tree, but it works for me. When's the right time to plant a tree? 30 years ago and today. We should have planted those trees 30 years ago. We'd be eating the fruit right now. What's the next best time? Right now. Right now. When's the best time to get involved? When's the best time to testify? When's the best time to lead someone to Jesus? When's the best time to pray for your kids? Well, for some of you, it was 50 years ago, and it's today. The best time to wake up and say, Jesus, let my eyes be open today, is right now. I thank God it was 30 years ago, but let him open my eyes today.